All right, so we're going to carry on from where we stopped last week. So we've been looking at, well, we started a new series called Hearing the Voice of God. Hearing the Voice of God. And I think just to do a little recap on that, what I mentioned was that, and what we saw from our discussion last week, is that God actually speaks to us all the time. But I think the challenge is that sometimes we are not aware that God speaks to us or he has spoken to us. And I think one of the reasons, at least for me initially, was the fact that I just thought, man, that God speaking to you business is just for like super Christians. Me, I'm just like, you know. But really, that's not the case at all. And if I just use an analogy here, which I'm not quite sure I used it last week, where as a parent, you have a child. For example, you have all these little kids around, 1, 2 years old. As a parent, you're going to want to, like, you know, you're always going to be wanting to talk to the child, even if you don't understand what they're saying. And you might be going, oh, blah, 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 and all those things, you know, those baby talk things. But I'm sure you guys don't do that. Well, I did. And that's because as a parent, you want to communicate with your child, irrespective of whether they understand what you're saying, but you just want to be present. And the same way, God will communicate to us in a way that we understand. And it's in different ways. But it's just that consciousness that, okay, God actually wants to communicate with me. And once we go beyond that initial doubt that, oh man, this is just for super Christians, then we become more aware of God speaking to us. And God doesn't just talk to us about really important things. And when I say really important things, like groundbreaking, it could be like, wow, how are you doing today? What are you going to do today? How was your day at the office? I was like, man, does God ask those kind of questions? I was like, man, there's war in Ukraine. He has more important things to sort out. But actually, he does. He does. And God speaking to you as an individual on an everyday basis makes such a big difference. So that's what we're looking at. And I'm just going to recap from last week. There was a point I made that I think kind of like really drove home the point. But let me recap again, then we'll now move on to what I'm actually going to talk about today. And I'm going to read from 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 9 to 12. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 9 to 12. Background to the story, there was a lot of famine in the land. Tesco's had no food. Sainsbury's was all shut out. There wasn't any food at all in that land. And everybody was hungry. And there was a prophet of God who God said, look, I'm going to send you to a woman who's a woman in a particular country. I have told this woman to feed you. So when you get there, you find this woman who's a widow, and I've spoken to her already, she'll sort you out. That was the background. So Elijah was like really excited, my goodness, a meal at last, even though there's nothing happening around here. And he goes to where God sent him, to this woman. That's the background. Now, I'll read what happens when he gets there. So it says, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to support you with food. So this was God telling him this. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and he asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, bring me please a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord lives, she replied. Then she responds, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take it home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die. So basically she said, look, I'm just going to cook my last meal. My son and I will have our last meal and just expect death because no food at all. And you're now wondering, hang on, there's a mismatch here. I thought God just said, that he had told this woman to feed Elijah. So how come she didn't realize that, hang on, this is the person that God sent to? So it appears that there's a mismatch there. And the way I describe that mismatch is this, in modern terms. So say, for example, I'm like, oh, I need to really, you know, send a message to Brother Mark here. He's a text man. Text man, he loves text, doesn't do all these. I need to send a message. So I phone him and I say, oh, I leave a voice message for him because I couldn't get through to him on the phone. He hears the voice message and he responds with the text. And the text is in my inbox. Please, can you tell him stop dragging chairs up and down now, please? I know they'd be excited. Oh, man. I wish I was a child. You can do anything and get away with it. Drag the chair. Yeah, he can keep dragging, but if they can just reduce the noise a bit. But otherwise, just leave them, actually. All right, so I leave a voice message for him on his phone because he wasn't there. He gets the message and he responds to me, but he doesn't call me back. He sends me a text message. And that text message is in my inbox. In that scenario, well, it's in my inbox, but my phone's out of charge, for example. So I haven't checked my inbox. So I'm wondering, oh my goodness, man, I left this guy a message 3 days ago and he hasn't gotten back to me, and it was like a really urgent message. At that point, I'm not aware that he sent a text message to me, but in my mind, he hasn't responded. Why? Because I'm like, man, he should have called me. He should have sent me an email. He should have WhatsApped me. Oh, man. He hasn't spoken to me at all. He hasn't responded. In this context, has he responded or not? He has. So what's the problem here? Now, the challenge now is this. That was the same thing with this woman. God had already spoken to her, but she wasn't aware. So the message was in her text message inbox, but she hadn't checked. Actually, she wasn't even aware the message was there, so her phone was out of charge. Do you understand? So she might have been saying, man, I'm waiting for God to give me a call here to speak this thing in my ears. But God has already spoken. He sent you, using this comparison, he sent you a text message. And that's the same thing that happens with us. He sends us text messages all the time, but we're not expecting text messages from him. We're expecting email, we're expecting a phone call, we're expecting every other thing. And after a while, we're just like, you know, oh, man, God doesn't speak to me at all. But your inbox is full. You've got like 300 and something messages there, but you haven't checked. That was a scenario with this woman, and that's the scenario with us as well, where God actually speaks to us, but we're not conscious of the way he speaks to us sometimes. So we don't check in that way. Do you get what I mean? Now, what I mentioned is that the title of the series is Hearing the Voice of God. And what I mentioned last week is that where you see in that phrase, the voice of God, it's not necessarily the audible voice of God. In fact, I would go a step further and substitute hearing the voice of God to hearing how God communicates with us. Because anytime we use that word voice, what happens is that we think, and I probably thought that God would speak to you the way I'm speaking to you like this, audibly. He does that sometimes, but not on a regular basis. So hearing the voice of God is not an audible voice like this. It is, how does God communicate to you and I? Do you understand? So that's the thing, but he does communicate. I gave another example last week. And I was saying, okay, let's look at communication now, right? I'm going to do I'm going to communicate with you guys, but I'm not going to talk with a mic. And I want you guys to tell me what I'm saying. Right? So if I do this, just one posture, and I do this, what have I communicated? Sorry? Disappointment.
Oh dear, what's going to happen?
Oh dear, what's going to happen? Fed up. Man, you guys, I must recommend you to you with your proper students, like giving proper answers. Now, that was just one posture. I did that. And I've communicated loads to you already. And I haven't said a word. Do you know that that is the way that God communicates to a lot of us sometimes? And you guys have just done something now that I believe God wants us to do. You've seen me communicate something by my posture, but it's not very clear. Some of you have said, is it boredom? Is it? That's the same way God wants us to ask him the question. Now, let me just give us an example. So for me, the way God communicates to me about people a lot of times is through pictures. Do you get what I mean? Like that. I remember, loads of examples. There was a time we were at our headquarters and they said, okay, they were telling us about God communicating. They said, now everybody, I want you to get someone, like someone in the church, and we're going to practice how God communicates. So pray that God will tell you something about this person who you've chosen. So it's like me going to grab Brother Henry. And they said, pray that God will tell you something about them. You know? And like everybody was like looking like, man, what's happening here? But I know how God communicates to me as well. So there was this young sister there. I think she must have been like 18, young and all that. And I said, okay, sister, you go first. And I think she said, okay, God's going to bless you and all those things. Like, amen. I said, it's my turn, let me go. And as I just closed my eyes, I began to see pictures. And the pictures that I saw, now the reason why I'm explaining this is because it's so simple that we can miss it. It's so simple. So as I closed my eyes and I said, okay, God, tell me something about this sister that's standing in front of me. Then I began to see pictures. I saw a roundabout, is it a roundabout that's called it? And on that roundabout, as I saw that roundabout, I saw that it had three exits. One exit was going to a foreign country. The other exits were in England. Then suddenly I saw Jesus appear to her in a flash and left. All right? Now what do you do with that kind of information? The same thing you guys have asked, the same way you've asked now, what does that mean? So the same question, I saw that and I said, okay, God, what does this mean? And as I said that, I began to understand. As I just said that, I began to understand that, okay, there's a decision she needs to make. It's going to affect her future. But she needs to make it now. She has three choices. One of the choices that she has to make is out of England. So I began to tell her, I said, look, I didn't tell her about the roundabout thing. I was like, man. So I said, okay. I said, there's a decision you want to make about the future. You have three choices that are confronting you. You don't know which one to take. As I began to speak that, then I began to understand more and more. I said, you don't know which of these three to take, but God said you can take anyone. Anyone you take is fine. He will go with you. Then it's like sometimes you feel that God is not really listening to you. He's there sometimes, he's not there sometimes, and that's how you're feeling. And she began to cry. I was like, man, I hope I haven't said anything, you know. So she began to cry. And she was saying that there's work placement. And then she began to tell me that she has like work placement. She has a choice to make between going abroad and here and all that. Now, sometimes the Bible calls that, well, that's something else. So it was God really encouraging her to say, look, I'm here. So can you imagine, right, if you could do that often? What would that do in the life of the people that you're, or even in your own life? Do you understand? So for her, it's like, look, what does God have to do with me choosing an internship somewhere? I mean, God has more important things to do. But God was right there with her, saying these, in quote, not too important things, but it so touched her that, wow, you mean God really cares about my internship? God knows that sometimes I think he's not there and he's, do you understand? So, what's the time? Okay. What I'm saying is this. The reason that I was able to do that is because I am aware that God communicates that way. Now, if I wasn't aware and I just saw the pictures round, I was like, what does that mean? Why am I thinking about roundabout in this conversation? But I was aware. So the same way with this woman that God spoke to in 1 Kings, she wasn't aware. So if you asked her, has God spoken to you? She said, God, what are you talking about? God doesn't speak to me. But God had. So the question now is, as an individual, how do you access your text messages from God? If I can use that analogy. We'll look at that in a minute. Or I don't know if it's the next time we're looking at that. But what I'm just trying to communicate very simply this morning is, for our Christian walk, how shall I explain this? It's God really loves us, right? And God has made everything in the Christian faith for us simple and accessible. Now, the challenge now is this, and these are one of the things that I hope I'll get to today. We need to really sit down and get away from a lot of the assumptions that we have about God. Previously, I thought, you know, you flip on YouTube and, you know, I love these big Christian gatherings sometimes. I mean, I love them anyway. And sometimes you see pastors, prophets, and all these folks, and they're talking about how God communicates to us. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just saying these are some of the things we need to get over. And they say, God spoke to me. Obviously, they're American. God spoke to me this morning after 7 days of fasting. After 7 days of not seeing a single human being, I was on the mountain. And God said, go. And you're listening to that and you're like, my goodness, before God can say anything to me, then it seems like I have to go and fast for 7 days and there's no chance of that happening. One day fasting is like, I'm almost gone. So we just drop the idea and say, look, well, we're going to leave this to the super spiritual people. Those guys that can fast 7 days, all those guys that can pray for 30, nothing to do with me. And we drop it. So those are some of the assumptions that we have. Now, obviously, if you want to fast and pray, it's great. God can appear to you and do, you know, so it's fine. But what I'm just saying this morning is, it's not that complicated. It's not. And one thing as well, you know, it's not that complicated. And God can really just use you to encourage people. I mean, I was telling someone that I have some friends in Bristol, right? Some pastor friends, right? And there's this particular pastor friend I have. Their church is somewhere in the south of Bristol. And I have another pastor friend and all that. Every time I meet with these guys to talk, we used to have these meetings once every 2 months or once every 6 weeks. I was just saying that, guys, something is happening. Every time I meet with these guys, as we sit down to talk, God will just start telling me things about them. And I'll be like, okay, in your church, this is what you guys are thinking about. And, you know, all the time. So I was like, oh, this is really... Now, why am I saying all this? Okay. I'm saying all this to us because, you know, I think sometimes the way I say things, it seems like, oh man, this is just so simple. And maybe because sometimes I don't put in a lot of drama. I don't like, I love all that drama, by the way. But there are times that I'm just like explaining these things in such a simple way. I'm like, man, Pastor, this is just too simple. I haven't said, oh, now let us, you know. All those things are great, right? But I'm saying that there's another side to it, which is really simple. Really simple. And for some of those guys, they say, oh, you're a prophet. And I say, forget all that big language. I'm not a prophet or whatever. I know just the simplicity of God. Do you understand what I mean? You know? Now, I'm explaining this. So these aren't things that I usually say. Because sometimes it's like, oh man, are you trying to make yourself seem like special? I'm not in any way. Do you understand? But I'm just giving these examples. I remember there was a time when we were having a meeting like this, and the same thing, I think in those services, sometimes I would say, God, what's going to happen in the service today and all that. And on this particular day, I just saw the same picture thing, and I saw someone that had, it's like I didn't see the person's face. I saw someone that had like a toothache on their left side. First of all, I saw the picture. I was like, what's that? I was like, oh, this person has a toothache. And as we're praying, I said, oh, someone here that has a, that has a toothache. Like bursting out to freedom. Sorry, captured you back. And I said, oh, there's someone that has a toothache and God will touch you in Jesus' name. And that was it. And I think then my daughter came to me and said, oh, that, do I know that she had a toothache and all that? I think she was slightly younger then. I said, oh, I didn't know, you know, you had it. I didn't know you had a toothache, but it was God just communicating that he sees you and he has touched you. So I'm giving all these examples. I think I'll just do half of what I'm going to talk about today, but I just want us to really see that, look, this God talking to people business is really simple. It is mega simple. Do you understand? All right? Okay. So that's the background. So we talked about a number of things last week. So today I'll just start off with the next bit that I'm going to talk about. And I hope I can... Okay. So I'll just see how far I can go today for the next 15 to 20 minutes. I just wanted to relay the foundation of what we spoke about last week. The first thing I wanted to mention this morning, this is part two, by the way, is you are communicating with the spiritual realm every single hour. Or let me put it this way. The spiritual realm is communicating with you constantly. Some people say, oh man, I'm not spiritual. You are. Every human being is spiritual. Now, last week I mentioned that there are three parts to us as human beings. One, you are a spirit. You have a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is consists of your mind, your emotions, and you live in a body. So there are three parts to every human being. Spirit, soul, and body. We looked at that last week. A lot of us are not conscious about our spirit. We're conscious about our bodies because, you know, this is your body. We're conscious about our soul. So, for example, if someone says words that are very harsh to us, or someone says something that is really unkind, we feel a bit hurt. Can you tell me what hurt looks like? You can't. It's in your soul. Amen, brother. So the part of you that's invincible, that feels, that thinks, is your soul. Your spirit is the one that a lot of us are not really conscious of. But you have a spirit. And your spirit, whether you're a Christian or not, is communicating with the spiritual realm around us every single minute. Or, like I said, the spiritual realm is communicating with you every single minute, but you might not be aware of it. So the first thing we note today is that, one, your spirit is engaging the spiritual world all the time. Mark chapter 2 and verse 8. Mark chapter 2 verse 8. It says, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? So Jesus, there were people around Jesus, and through his spirit, the Holy Spirit communicating to his spirit, he knew what they were thinking about. Because the Holy Spirit communicated it to the spirit of Jesus. It says he knew in his spirit, he didn't know in his mind. So that means he knew supernaturally. And the way he knew was because he was conscious that some comms are going on. Do you know there are times that you might come across people, and again, putting a balance to this, and you've not really spoken to them, but you kind of like know them. You know that this person is like this. And their external traits, or what they're saying, might be the total opposite of what you sense they are like. Sometimes, not all the time. It's your spirit picking it up from their spirit. And I think they say, women know this a lot. They call it like intuition. You know, men are so logical. And there's sometimes that maybe then my wife would tell me, be careful. I'd be like, be careful about what? Be careful about this particular situation. Why? She can't explain. She can't explain. You know what I mean? But obviously we need to put a balance there. So our spirits are always communicating with the spiritual realm. And that's what we see there. Now, the second point I'm making, which I've kind of like alluded to in the first one, is this. The place that the communication ends up in a lot of the times in our soul is our mind. The bedrock for communication from the spirit to our understanding is our mind. So let me put it to us this way. I said that you have like on this side, you have your spirit that we're not really aware of because we can't see our spirits. Now in the middle, you have your soul. Your soul has your mind, your emotions, and you have your body, which has your ears and your physical senses. Now, what happens a lot of the times is that when your spirit receives something from the spiritual realm, your spirit communicates it to your mind. Then your mind processes it and gives it to your senses so that you understand what message this you've received from your spirit. So, like I mentioned, there are times that for me, when I receive things in my spirit, the way my mind communicates it to me so that I understand is in pictures. Do you understand? So your soul and your mind are the primary, what I'll call, interpreters of spiritual language to your understanding. All right? I probably can explain this properly. So what that means is your mind is so important because that is where spirits speak to you. Do you understand what I mean? Your soul is the middle man or the middle woman. I think your soul is genderless, actually. Your soul is the one that interprets what you get from the spirit to your understanding. Do you understand what I mean? So that's the second point. So I guess the next thing now is this, and I might stop here, then carry on. That means that there are three groups of people, three spirits that can communicate to your mind. There are three spirits, and that's it. There's your spirit that understands something, and your spirit speaks. It's you. Your spirit speaks to your mind, and you understand. For example, when you're thinking, who's talking? When you're thinking and you're not speaking out loud, who's talking? It's you. Do you understand? When you're reasoning, it's you. It's your spirit. It's happening in your, so it's you. So three spirits that can speak to you, your own spirit can speak to you. God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, can speak to you. That's what we're saying, hearing the voice of God. And the third groups of spirits that can speak to an individual, the devil and evil spirits. Those are the three. Those are the three. Now, the challenge now here is this, and these are the things that I believe that if we really understand and practice, we won't have, let me not say we won't, it will help us to live slightly stress-free lives. I gave an example last week. There was a pastor friend of mine that was going through challenges. This was years ago. So my wife and I, my late wife and I, said, okay, look, come and spend the weekend with us. You're so stressed. Just come, spend like a couple of nights with us. We're living in West London then. Then we'll just talk together. You can relax. Forget about all these things that are happening then. You can go back home after then. And he came, we're chatting and all that, talking. And on one particular day, he just looked at me and said, man, I've been thinking about killing myself. Right? Yeah, that's what he said. I mean, this guy was like really close to me. He said, man, I've just been thinking about killing myself. It's just not worth it. And this guy's a pastor, right? And do you know what I told him straight away? I said, no, you are not the one thinking of killing yourself. There's a spirit telling you to kill yourself. Then he woke up and he said, hang on, that is weird. There's no way I'll be thinking of killing myself. I mean, my wife, my children. Where did that come from? So he snapped out of it. And what was happening to him was that these three things, spirits were communicating to him, kill yourself, it's not worth it. But do you know where the mistake was? He thought he was the one telling himself that. You understand? He thought that he was the one telling himself to kill himself, but he wasn't. He wasn't. And he understood straight away. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying that, look, I'll give an example in a minute, then we'll close. The world that we live in and our Christian faith, it goes beyond just coming to like physical meetings like this and singing and all this, which we absolutely love. God has done so much for us to deal with the life that we live. But the challenge is that oftentimes we're not aware that God has given us the ability to live in this life from a spiritual perspective. So if things come from the spirit, there's a way he has given us to deal with it. If things happen in our soul, there's a way he has prescribed for us to deal with it. Things happen in our body. So the Bible has the answers to all these things. So can you imagine this gentleman? Since that day, he became better and all that. He will have killed himself. Why? Because he thought he was the one. All right? So this is really serious business. That's why, this is serious business, I tell you. I remember when I was much younger, right? I think before I became a Christian, I would wake up in the morning And I'll be having these thoughts, aggressive thoughts from morning till night. And what were the thoughts I'll be having? Oh, how am I going to, I mean, I think I must have been like 18 or 19. And I was thinking, oh, how am I going to make it? I need this, I need that. All day, all night, I'll be worn out by the evening because of these thoughts. All the time. All the time. I was like, man, what is happening to me? And, you know, who was I going to tell? What was I going to tell them? I'm having these thoughts. Be like, so what? You don't have any problem. Have you got food to eat yet? Please, let's talk about more important things. But I was having these thoughts. Then later I became a Christian. I became born again. I now understood that, really. So where are these thoughts coming from? Since then, I don't think there's anything that really stresses me per se, only when I overwork myself, because my mind is clear. My mind is clear. Because I know that if I hear a thought, I said hear a thought, that says certain things that don't line up, is it me? No. Is it God? No. Who is it? Mr. Devil? Shut it out straight away. I don't even entertain it because I understand. So that way, I can live stress-free. I can live like I'm in the Bahamas every single day. I tell you, is it because everything is perfect around me? No. But my mind is clear. All right, so let me go to the next point and we'll end there. So I've said three voices speak to us, and it is key that we understand how to distinguish these voices. We'll look at that next time, but today I just want to highlight things. You speak to yourself, your spirit speaks to yourself. The Holy Spirit speaks to you, your spirit, and the devil speaks to you as well. The devil speaks to all of us, by the way. Not just you, everybody. We'll look at some examples, but it's not a problem at all. You know? So the first one is you speaking to yourself. And if you look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, about there was this guy that left home, the prodigal son. And I'll read Luke chapter 15, 17. It says, when he came to himself, he said, How many servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. So the Bible says that he came to himself. He had what is called self-talk, self-conversation. He sat down and he was thinking, wow, what is happening here? And he was talking to himself. Spirit to mind to self. Spirit to mind to self. Do you understand? So the first thing is we are the ones, we often speak to ourselves. Our spirit speaks to us. That's fine. The second one is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And that's from Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I have called them. So the second point, the second example we see here is God actually speaking to an individual. Do you understand? That was Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. So the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So that's voice number two. We'll look at voice number three, which is a subtle voice sometimes. Mr. Devil. We'll look at an example. And you know, there are times that we think that when Mr. Devil speaks, it's always like we see on TV. Oh, now you, I'm here to scare you. No, that's for, he doesn't do that often. At least in England, he doesn't. In other parts of the world, he might. But in England, he doesn't. Let me show you something here, and we'll end. And this is from 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verses 1 to 5. Now, Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, go, number Israel from Bathsheba to Dan, and bring the number to me that I may know it. And Joab, his commander, answered, The Lord make his people 100 and more. But my Lord the King, are we not all the Lord's servants? Why do you need this? Why do you need this thing? Paraphrasing, why do you need us to count and number the people? Won't this cause a trespass to Israel? Verse 4, nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore, Joab departed, and he went through all Israel and to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the number of the people. I've just paraphrased that. Now, let me explain what this means. David was sitting down one day in Israel, and he said, Joab, his army commander, can you number all those people for me? I want to see how strong we are as a nation. And Joab, his commander, said something. He said, their king, why do we need to do this? We don't need to do this. We don't need to number the people. Now, the reason David wanted to number the people was to... It was kind of like almost like a thing of pride, where he wanted to say, yeah, we're 1 million here. Forgetting that God said, look, I'm the one that helps you. Whether you're 1 million or 30 or 20, God is the one that fights for you. So he wanted to be like, I've got like a massive army, and anybody that tries us, is going to have it. But God didn't want him to have that perspective. God wanted him to be like, okay, fine, we have so many people, but my reliance is on God. Do you understand? So it was a thing of pride. Now, let me rewind. David now calls his commander. He says, look, go and number the people and tell me how many we are. Where did that come from? Was it David? Now, David is someone that, God says, this is a man after my heart. This was a man that he misbehaved so much, but because God loved him so much, he still overlooked some of his funny business. So this wasn't like a run-of-the-mill, guy who had nothing to do with God. So the point I want to bring out is, where did that come from? Where did that idea come from? The devil. But the big mistake was that David didn't know it was the devil that spoke to him. He didn't know. He thought he woke up one day and was like, oh, I'm just going to number it. No. The Bible tells us that Satan, the devil himself, not even one of his messengers, put the thought in David's mind. And David thought it was him. All right? Now, we begin to see that when he said that, his army commander, Joab, recognized that, hang on, there's something going on here. And he told David, we don't need to do this. Our reliance is on God. But the king overruled him, the Bible tells us, and still went ahead. And it cost them a lot. There was a consequence to that. So, we see that when the devil speaks sometimes to us, we are not aware. But there's one thing that we can do, and I'll look at that, I guess the next thing that we want to ask is, how do I know if it's me, the Holy Spirit, or if it's the devil? We'll look at that in detail in 2 weeks. But let me tell you about the devil. Anything that the devil, any thought that you have, right? If you can filter it through the Word of God. I've used that word. If you can filter it through the Word of God, then the devil can't get you. What Joab brought the Word of God to David. He said, look, God said we shouldn't do this. So he was presented with the Word of God, but it seemed like he overruled it. We'll look at that in 2 weeks. So that you begin to get to the place that you know if it's you, if it's your own desires that's pushing you, if it's the devil or if it's God. With clarity. People, as a pastor, I've spoken to loads of people. not even people in this church, people outside of this church. I have friends who come to me sometimes. And there are times that people will come to me and say, Pastor, or maybe for my friends from back in the day, and they're saying, oh, God told them that this is what they should do. This is what they should do. And straight away, I know that it's not God telling them that. I know straight away. Someone comes to me and says, my wife of 15 years, that woman just keeps annoying me. God said that I should live a stress-free life, so I should divorce her. Pastor, if you know what this woman does to me, this woman does X, Y, and Z. God said, divorce her so that your life can be stress-free. And I smile. I said, God really said that? Yes, yes. The Bible says, that live in peace as much as you can. But if you can't live in peace, it's better not to live with a woman than they quote Proverbs. It's better to live by yourself than to live with a woman who nags you and all that. So God has spoken, Pastor. I said, really? Okay. Now, for me as a pastor, there are two things. For me, I can't tell people what to do. Then for some of them, if they're really close to me, I can tell them, God didn't say a word to you, my friend. That's you. This. If they're really close to me, I can tell them that direct and just look them in the eyes. You know, I say, you're joking. What were you talking about? But for a lot of people, I can't tell them directly. Then I begin to do like Job sometimes. I'll be like, you know, God says we should have patience. You know, God says that, look, Jesus forgave our sins as well, so we need to take it easy with one another. But what I'm trying to tell them is that's not God. And for some people, they will override me and just say, whatever. Pastor, it's not you. It's me. I'm the one living in this situation. And I said, okay, no problem. The Lord bless you. And I know exactly how it's going to turn out. Do you understand? In that situation, I'll say, look, don't say God said this thing. If it's someone that's close to me, don't say God told you to divorce your wife. If you are so annoyed and you want to divorce her, say it is you. Let's know where we're going to start from. If we have to beg you or beg your wife, don't say God said you should divorce her, because God didn't tell you that. By the way, you as well, you're not exactly a saint, my friend. You're not exactly a saint, so don't tell me that God told you to divorce your wife business. You're the one that wants to, because let's know where we're starting from. Anyway, I'm going to stop there today. But what am I saying today? I'm saying that, look, God speaks to each and every one of us, and we can begin a journey. God has explained how we can do that in the Bible, where God tells us things about the future. God can even come and just spend time with us as a friend, just comforting us. Do you understand? And it's not difficult at all. It's not. So this morning, I just want us to pray. And what I just want us to pray about is, wow, God is in heaven and he cares about us so much that he wants to speak with us. What an interesting, what a thing. I mean, God doesn't have to, but he wants to. Why? Because he loves us. So this morning, I just want us to pray and just say, God, I just really want to know you. I want my life as a Christian to be an exciting one where I can hear your voice for myself and hear your voice to encourage other people as well. Every fear, every preconception that I have, help me to put it aside so that I can begin this journey of really hearing you speak to me, because you do. So let's just ask God in a very simple way. That way we'll be able to, our lives will be more stress-free. Why? Because we will know that, wow, this is God really speaking to me about this situation. This is what God is saying I should do. God is saying I shouldn't worry. He says he's got this under control. God is saying that that thing that keeps you bowed down. And I see someone that I see someone who is seated on their bed in their bedroom. They're sitting on the bed and they've got their head between their knees and they're just almost crying, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And it said, and God just says, look, you don't worry about what you're going to do. When you get to the crossroad and you're wondering if you should, what decision you should take, maybe you should go left or you should go right, you get there first and I'll be there right with you to make the decision. So let that decision wait. It is not time to make that decision yet. There's no point worrying about it. Just live your life the best way you can. When you get to the point where you have to make that decision, I will be there with you to help you make it. So let it go. Let it go. Don't worry about it. Father, we thank you, immortal, invincible God, only wise. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for the fact that you speak to us. And I commit everybody that is here and even those that are not here today, that you bring us into a deeper relationship with you, so that our relationship with you will just, it will be beyond just the black and white pages of the Bible, but one where we hear your voice, where you know us and where we know you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.